Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 9:03, McMonagle here with you. I'm filling in for Keith. I got you for another 3 hours on our ride to midnight. We're going to take a break from the calls for a second. We're going to welcome in Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Ball 9. Here we'll talk a little baseball, little Mets and Yankees. We've been talking about them for the first couple hours of the show, obviously. Day off today. Don't have to worry about them losing as of right now. And two big series coming up against Milwaukee. On the road, the Mets an opportunity to take on the best team in baseball, and the Yankees welcome in the nemesis Friday night at Yankee Stadium as the Houston Astros come to town. But we'll talk to Kevin here for a little bit. Kevin, how are you? Thank you very much for your time. Chris McMonagle here. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great to be with you, Chris.
I appreciate the time. All right, so let's start with the Yankees. We'll get to maybe the Mets a little bit later. Obviously, a disastrous road trip coming off of a really positive, for me, the three-game winning streak against Tampa Bay, a deadline that I thought addressed a lot of the issues, particularly in the bullpen, a disastrous three-game stretch in Miami, and then followed by just, you know, devastating losses in Texas as well. I'm reading your articles. Looking at some of the articles you've written for Ball 9, I know you feel that, you know, Aaron Boone is kind of allowed to do whatever he wants. Let me just ask you, do you think this win on the other day had any impact into how the team feels, or is there any noise that's calmed down a little bit, or is it just one off win and they have to play better on Friday?
Well, first off, your point on accountability, I agree with the whole 100%.
Okay.
You know, that's a very important point, but there's a difference between accountability and looking the other way. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look the other way, you create other problems. And also, I was there, you know, covering for the Post all those years, those things that you mentioned that happened. And, you know, those guys, they needed to be called out. It didn't work out. But my problem with the Yankees has been that it's too much of accepting something that's not right.
Right.
And I will say this, though, getting back to the question about the win was huge because I look at that as an accountability win. And now, what are you saying, Kevin, here? It's accountability because Boone went out there with Bednar and basically said, you know, he was ready to take him out. I think a little bit of that was for show. He wanted the guy to say what
sure.
he said. But he let him stay out there for 42 pitches.
Right.
And for 42 pitches, he basically showed, this was an accountability on grit, G-R-I-T.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Yankees have been missing.
Yeah.
Grit. Maybe you're not at your best. Maybe things are going wrong. But dig a little deeper. You know, don't let things sway you. Don't get doubled off first and pop up
right.
to second base.
Of course.
Don't throw the ball to first. Don't. And here's the point that nobody else made on that whole thing with Jazz. Earlier in the week, he made the same play from a defensive standpoint. He caught a ball and whipped the ball over to first, and the guy standing on first and he threw it away for an error. Mm-hmm. So that's a double. You know, that's two major mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can't look the other way on that. So I think by leaving Bednar in, that sent a message. Team, and it certainly sent a message to Devin Williams, like,
sure,
okay, enough with the antics. We don't care about the beards anymore. You may not like it, things like that, blah, blah, blah. We're here to win games any way we can, and let's get a little tougher as a team. And I think that was the message, and that's a good message. And now they got to back it up with the Astros. You know, the Astros are winning despite all kinds of injuries. They mm-hmm. play with grit. So it'll be a fun series. So that's my read on Boone. It's too much kumbaya. Marshmallow cooking.
Yeah.
Let's get it done. Let's get it done. So I think he has made mistakes, but that was good what he did yesterday.
Sure. And let me ask you this then, because I think that is the narrative. I think you share it with almost all Yankee fans about the, you know, the kumbaya and the milk and cookies is a comment that's thrown a lot on social media. I definitely think there's something to that. Do you also think, though, that because as we watch this team, to me, it's a lot of pressing and too tight. It's a lot of guys trying to make too many plays. It's trying to steal third base with two outs. It's trying to make that big play. It's trying to overcome the idea that they've been struggling for the last month. And as much as they tell you they'll be fine, and the Mets have, you know, has given some of that same messaging that we're fine, the offense is fine, we believe in these guys. And as much as they might say that, internally, it's almost as if I think they're the complete opposite, where I don't think they're making mistakes necessarily because they think Boone allows it, which I don't disagree with how he's handled it, makes it feel that way. I also think it's just these guys are pressing because they recognize the season's kind of falling apart. And sometimes with all the pressure and everything going on around the Yankees, they're desperate to turn this thing around and they make too many mistakes trying to do too much.
Well, the most dangerous player is a player who thinks he can do too much and make too much. Even going back to, you know, the joke used to be with Murphy, Daniel Murphy. He thought he was invisible on the bases, right? Remember that?
Yes.
Well, that's because he thought he could do all this stuff. And same thing with the Yankees. But it's a weird combination with the Yankees because, yes, Jazz, when he said Jazz was going to try, just trying to make a play, my head almost blew off because there's no play to be made there, to your point.
Yeah.
You can't, that is doing too much. The yips that we're seeing with Volpe, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these, but the other things too, the Wells forgetting the outs, that's not too much. That's just losing your head in the game after you're bunted a second.
Yep.
Vivas being thrown out of third. Does he not know Acuna has a cannon?
Yep.
I mean, come on. So it's a weird combination of trying to do too much and also not having your head in the game.
Yeah.
When you don't have your head in the game at that level, you're asking for trouble. And I think I said it the day it happened, and then Jazz bounced back with a home run and some other things. You're seeing a little different Jazz now. He's a little bit more focused. And that's what I think the deal is. You got to get them back to being focused.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you're screwed. And, you know, as for the Mets, they got many other problems, too. So,
yeah.
But the good news is, Chris, nobody's any good.
Yes.
The good news is
that is the good news.
I'd be shocked if the Yankees or Mets don't make the playoffs. So this is a buildup now. You have time now to fix it, get it right, get to the playoffs, show some guts.
Right.
The Red Sox bounced back from a gutless period.
Yeah.
And now they're playing hard. It can be done because nobody's any good. I don't know if you saw some of the Dodgers highlights the other day.
Oh.
They throw the ball around like it's a T-ball.
Yeah. I felt like saying that. Like, I wonder what the scouting report on the Dodgers is right now because they throw the baseball around. I don't know if they play baseball too good at the moment.
No, and I pointed this out 5 years ago. And I've been on the same bandwagon. People are coming to my side now. But I said 5 years ago, you watch. All the nerd GMs are going to turn all the teams into bad teams, and then they're going to just bounce it around. And that's where we're at right now. So it's a zig when they zag thing now. You have to start doing baseball fundamentals to the best you can do them. And that means working extra, doing the things that are right. Thinking about the play. You know, Jeter, I had Jeter all those years. He always knew the play he was going to make. And he could react to any play because he had everything went through his head.
Yeah.
I don't know what some of the Yankees are thinking about.
Yeah.
But also, when they lose their compass, they lost their compass in Aaron Judge for a week or two, and then you saw it all go kabooey.
Yeah.
So with him back now, that'll help a little bit. And I know people say he's not a fire and brimstone leader, but he can look at you and you better get your act together, leader. So
yeah.
I think it's on the upswing. And don't forget, too, the Twins are coming in after this, so that's another gift.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they always beat the Twins, let alone when they sell away the entire team, so hopefully that will be a good series for them, too. Yeah, so speaking about Judge real quick, what do we think of he's already having catch. I think they've said that he's not going to play the outfield this series. There's some thought that he could possibly play it against the Twins. That seems early to me, too. How do you think they handle this? Because it's a weird, you know, you want to get Stanton in the lineup. He's having arguably one of the better stretches in the regular season that he's had as a Yankee. That's how good he's been over the last 3 weeks or so. You want him in the lineup. You need Judge in the outfield, but it's also risking injury. Like, where do we see this outfield and Judge going? Where does the situation go right now? How careful are they going to be? How aggressive are they going to be? How do you think this shakes out?
Well, you can't be super aggressive here because if the arm blows out, you're dead.
Yeah.
So you got to take your chances here. You give the big boy talk to Stanton because you're 100% right. When Stanton's hot, man, you gotta ride him.
Yeah.
You gotta ride him, get him in there as much, and take those at bat. You can't stick him in left field. Left field's very difficult. It's much harder than right field. So you just put him out in right field. You basically, like, you know, we're going back to Little League here, Chris. You put the big boy out in right field, say, don't get hurt, don't run into your second baseman.
Right.
Just make the plays, get the ball in.
Yeah.
And then we'll take care of it offensively. Let Judge heal. I wrote this column about 2 weeks ago, and I had these conversations with Judge when I was there. They missed a golden opportunity with Judge, and I hope they do it this year. I'm giving your listeners a heads up for next year.
Yeah.
He's got to go to first base.
Yeah, we've been talking about
it. Base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wrote that. You know, I wrote it years ago,
yeah.
and I talked to Judge about it. He would gladly go to first. That would have saved the whole Rizzo problem. It would have saved Goldsmith's doing okay, but it would have saved having to find another first baseman.
Sure.
So make sure next year you get ahead of the problem. Put him at first base. Volpe can't throw anything away to that guy. So that's a plus, too.
You'd be surprised. I think that does make sense. It also, I mean, not to get too much into next year, but it would open up the outfield for Bellinger and Tucker if they wanted to do that, if they were so inclined.
You fix the Yankees in one move. Judge does the first year. He played it all throughout high school. He played a little bit in college. Mm-hmm. You get Kyle Tucker. Boom. All of a sudden, you're back to being the Yankees.
Yeah. All right. We're talking to Kevin Kiernan, columnist for Ball 9. Another Yankee question. We'll turn to the Mets in a second here. We mentioned Devin Williams, and obviously, you know, to me, and, you know, I'm a bit more of a Boone defender than most, even I could not understand. Going to him is one thing. I sort of understood going to him a little bit. At least I could understand, you know, you have Leiter coming back from having pitched in a month. You know, you can't just never throw the dude. They're scoring zero here. It's not crazy, but not pulling him is crazy. So I think we all established that. I don't understand why he did what he did. But moving forward now with him, you know, I kind of gave Boone and the Yankees a lot of credit last year when they pulled Clay Holmes from the closer role, sticking with him, continuing to pitch him, continuing to even throw him in high leverage situations down the stretch. And then they got a very productive, useful pitcher in the postseason, 9 scoreless innings to start his postseason run. Do you think that that is something they envision here, or are they just done with Devin Williams, who just looks like he doesn't enjoy being a Yankee?
He doesn't enjoy being a Yankee, but that's life. He's got to live with it the rest of the year. And Boone's strategy, and you can see it how he does things, he's not an in-your-face guy. So he's going to let you blow up, lose the job, and then hope that you come back psychologically stronger from that.
Okay.
So now I think what you're going to see Bednar be the closer, but also you're going to still see some fines when they go to Devin Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I had Trevor Hoffman when I lived in San Diego for 10 years and covered the Padres. And when Trevor saw a changeup started to go, it was very dangerous. When closers who are changeup guys, their pitch starts to go. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with Devin Williams right now. Going back to the Alonso home run, that had to be in his head as well. So this guy, Devin Williams, has to make the adjustment now.
Yeah.
Devin Williams has to. What we were talking about, grit. He's got to use the fastball more. I also think he throws his changeup. There's such a disparity between his changeup you can sit on the changeup and crush it, and that's what they're doing. So he needs to throw the changeup a little harder. I think if he does that, then I think you can salvage Devin Williams. And then if everything goes well, then all of a sudden you may have that eighth inning guy and also the guy when Bednar's down. Because there's going to be – I'm telling you right now, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh. Bednar's a gutsy guy. He'll go through – but there's going to be games where he comes in and gives up 2 home runs and you're going to say, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of a tightrope the rest of the year, but I think he needs them both and he realizes that. And by pointing out to Williams, like, hey, you're not really this good right now, without him saying that, but showing him that, that will hopefully spur some kind of reemergence.
All right, let's hope. Talking to Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Ball 9. Let's switch to the Mets right now, who, I mean, the pitching is an issue with the amount of innings, although they did load up the bullpen. But to me, when you talk about the Mets' struggles here, it starts with what the owner coined the Fab Four. The top of the order, Juan Soto being namely one, although, you know, his numbers are still, you know, very good for the average Major League Baseball player. They're down for Juan Soto, and he has been, you know, just not nearly as clutch as we have seen him in a Yankee uniform, in a Nationals uniform. 26 home runs, 20 of them solo home runs. What's going on with this Met offense, especially at the top, guys who get paid a lot of money to be the driving force of this team, just really being non-productive here for a long stretch?
Well, I'm going to start with Lindor. Remember Lindor last year? I crushed him after the statue. The strikeout statue where he just stood there.
Yeah.
And he took strike 3. He's in that same frame of mind. I think he went to the All-Star game so pumped up. He's a hug me guy. You know, I got to hug every opponent. Got to do this. Got to do that.
Yeah.
He talk about losing your focus. He loses it, man. And then all of a sudden he's trying to jack a home run. This guy's throwing 126 pitches yesterday. You get up in a game where you're still trying to win. You're not just trying to break up a no hitter.
Yeah.
And you're swinging from your butt on a breaking ball that he's been throwing all day.
Yeah.
So Lindor is in this. He's in Lindor world, is what I call it right now. He needs to get back to being in team world where he does have skills. This is another guy, getting back to your point earlier about trying to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's a home run hitter. He's got to realize who he is. As for Soto, totally different situation. Soto, to me, and I said it from day one, He's not comfortable there yet. It's going to take a while. What did he do all off season? He visited everybody. He celebrated with other teams that wanted to have him. He didn't have his normal off season of work.
Right.
So I knew he was going to come in slow this year, a little bit overweight. I thought, you know, the outfield was a little bit ugly. And that throw yesterday, more than anything else, that throw he made yesterday really was terrible because he just lobbed it in.
I agree with you. A lot of people
thought the guy's going to go to third base.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of people are talking about the hustle after the ball. I thought the nonchalant throw was much more egregious.
No, it was the throw.
Yeah.
It was a non – baseball's a sport of anticipation. You know, I'm one of the few writers who actually played it through college, so I understand the game pretty good. And when you lose your look ahead and your anticipation, you create all kinds of issues for yourself. That's what Lindor's done. The second part of the problem here – and this is going to be – this is a really this is a deep dive here. Lindor loves Pat Rosler. Pat Rosler is the Yankees' assistant hitting coach. Great hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees are lucky to have him. Pat Rosler was Lindor's hitting coach also in Washington. The first thing I looked for when the Yankees played the Mets, I watched behind home plate. Who did – when the two teams came out – Juan Soto made a beeline to Pat Rosler.
Oh, Soto.
And he talked hitting with him. So Pat Rosler was his kind of like security blanket. And you know, and again, they can still all talk and everything like that, but he doesn't have that same feel with the Mets coaches. And that's nothing against the Mets coaches.
Sure.
I've known Eric Chavez since he played forever. His matter of fact, Eric Chavez's wife, a mom, was my daughter's cafeteria, in charge of the cafeteria where my daughter went to high school in California. So great guy, great, you know, .339 on base percentage when he played and things like that.
Yeah.
6 gold gloves, did everything right. So I'm not ripping Chavez. All I'm saying is Soto is one of those guys who's he's got to feel comfortable. He hasn't hit that comfort zone yet with the Mets. He's kind of like still on the outside looking in. He needs to get it together where, hey, He needs the role. I'm $765 million guy. I'm the guy. It runs through me. Pete did all the work early in the year, saved the Mets. I said it right from the beginning. The guy they didn't want saved them.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long can he carry it on? And as for Pete's mental thing, you can just see Pete's like thinking, man, I don't know if I want to stay here. And, he talks about it being a bridge contract. A bridge too far, maybe. So there's a lot of mental. The good news for the Mets, it's mostly mental, not physical.
Right.
So if Lindor can get his act together, Soto can step up and, you know, act like the man, and also get that kind of feedback from his teammates and things. And then Alonso just be himself. He's done a great job hitting the ball the other way this year. Alonso gets in trouble when he tries to do too much. Back to your main point. It's such a great point. And that's the key to baseball. So that's what I see what's going on with those three. Nimmo's Nimmo. You know, he's going to run hot and cold. He's selling out for the home run now. I'd rather see Nimmo go back to being hit that ball, you know, hit the ball the opposite way.
Yeah, and get on base.
And I think Get on base. You know, I talked to Brandon about this through the years, too. There were years where he had 3 stolen bases. I said, Brandon, you're the fastest guy out here. What the hell are you doing? You know, so with these new rules, and the Mets are great at it. They're great at it. They've had, like 30 straight stolen bases.
Yeah.
But they can do it almost every time, time. So I think sometimes in a season, there's a natural low when you hit this point. It's not just dog days, but it's like psychologically, you kind of get beat up, and you have to. Then you got to really put pedal to the metal. The Mets are getting to that point. I think both teams are with these weekend games. I mean, this is a big weekend in Milwaukee. And Pat Murphy, God bless him, a great manager, accountability. He has his guys playing right. So you cannot. And the other thing too, say what you want about the Guardians. I made fun about them all year because they don't. You know, how the hell do they hit? They hit .228, but they run the bases well. They press you. That pressure the Yankees, teams that pressure the Mets have success. So that's what the Yankees and Mets both have to fix defensively.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think the third base situation is shaking out with the Mets right now? What do you like? Because I'd like to see more.
Not happy with it.
No, I know. I'd like to see. I'm wondering if we're going to see more Mauricio. Because you'd love to see Vientos.
Mauricio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody in the world wanted Mauricio. Every scout I talked to, they all wanted Mauricio.
Yeah.
So that tells me right then and there. You know who's got to want Mauricio now? The Mets got to want him.
Yeah.
You know what? You put him out there, send him out there and say, kid, it's yours, and use the other guys here and there, keep him happy, when, you know, pinch it, whatever. But Mauricio, to me, he seems to be more of a long-term answer than any other guys, and now's the time to start working on that, because I think that kid's got tremendous skills, and also, I'm a big fan of big third basemen, you know, what they can do physically, and this kid can hit, you know. You know, the Yankees have cleaned up third base with McMahon defensively, still going to strike out a ton, so it's still an issue for them. But third base has got to be fixed. Third base has got to be a producing position, and they're not getting it right now.
So it sounds like you're kind of, although they've played so poorly and there's plenty of issues, you're feeling fairly positive about both these teams and both these rosters. Like, because that was my question. With the, I know the Mets, we feel that they're a solid roster. The bullpen now with Diaz at the back, you feel good about it. The Yankees have really struggled. Even the Yankees, you feel overwhelmed. You feel pretty positive about them moving forward here?
I feel there's no way in the world they could possibly miss the playoffs.
Okay.
And then it's all a question of getting it together. Now, as for the Mets, I think the Mets have big problems when they match up against like the Phillies and things like that with that starting pitching.
Yeah.
But my whole thing is I feel good enough that they're good enough to make the postseason and then go from there. But if they want to do damage in the postseason, both teams got to clean it up 100% and got to find a new way to do it. And because right now they're just, they're it's like my friend, one of my scout friends told me earlier in the year, I said, what kind of year do you think it's going to be? I mean, we're talking Mets and Yankees. Mm-hmm. He says it's going to be a roller coaster year. It's like going to, Disney World. You know, they're going to be up, they're going to be down. They're going to be up, they're going to be down. And that's exactly what we've seen. And getting back to your point about pitching, I think that was a good point. I don't want to overlook it.
Sure.
I think the Mets let themselves short in the starting pitching.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back to haunt them. It's going to come back to haunt them, especially when you get to all the big teams. But, I feel good because everybody else thinks. That's why I feel good.
Well, and then just talking to Kevin Kiernan, Ball 9. Last question then just for the Yankees, because I was looking through some of your last articles and Cashman and Boone, obviously. If it doesn't go well, right, I think this roster is good enough, but obviously Cashman's been here for a long time. You've been around here long. You know the Steinbrenners. Is there an appetite at all if this season goes poorly in making major changes that the fans would want? Or is this it's going to continue on. He's comfortable with Brian Cashman. This is the way it's going to be for the New York Yankees. Is there a way of, if this goes poorly, the Yankees making the changes that many would deem necessary?
Only if Randy Levine got involved. Hal doesn't know anybody in baseball. I've said this many times before. Hank, I was very close to. Hal doesn't let anybody get really close to him. Hal gets all his information from Cashman and people in the Yankee organization.
Right.
So he doesn't have the tentacles outside the organization to know that this guy's good, that guy's good, where do I go from here? So I think he's got to lean on Cashman so much. And Cashman is such a survivor. I would see Boone going before Cashman.
Yeah.
And that's the way I see it going. Now, if I'll tell you what, though, if I'm Hal and they don't make the playoffs this year with this watered down playoff system, they're both out. No doubt in my mind. They're out. And I think there'll be such a cry from the Yankees and from you guys.
Yeah.
Talking to the fans every day. Because once you take away hope, and that's what you're doing, basically, if you don't make the playoffs and you got to go into this, we got to go through this whole thing again next year. And the best we can hope for is a fifth inning meltdown like we did against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the danger. And then all of a sudden the fans, I got to tell you, for a few days there, I couldn't even watch a Yankee game because I was tired of the same old crap.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans will say the same thing. So even Yankee fans need the reboot. So if I'm Hal, I start reaching out to people throughout baseball just to get, I'm not saying who's going to replace these guys, but hey, what do you think I'm doing here wrong? Because these owners talk to one another. Not that any of them are super bright, but you know, they're bright making money, but they're all numbers guys. So they don't understand the game, Chris.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They don't get the game.
Yeah.
They don't get the nuances of the game. Some of them do. Dombrowski does in Philly. You know, his owner gets it too. They still got issues, but look what they did. They went out and got the best closer. And say what you want about Harrison Bader. Comes to play every day.
Yeah.
He's changed his swing, but he's got a little more power. So that's what Hal's got to do. Real quick, I did a story on Hank and Hal way back when. And mm-hmm. I asked Hal, Hal, what's the difference between you and Hank? And he said, well, here's the difference. And I like Hal, nice guy. And he said, when my dad would bring the Notre Dame football team over, Hank would be in the backyard throwing a football with him. I would get on my bike with all my Star Wars toys on it and ride around the neighborhood. That's the difference between the two. Hank was a go-getter, get-in-your-face guy. Hal's an overview pilot type guy. So Hal needs to kind of – Jenny is a lot like her father, and she's been down there this week, so I think that's very interesting too. She's much more like the boss than anybody else. So I think there's probably conversations between her and Hal. So I do think there is pressure on Cashman and Boone right now.
All right. Well, Kevin Kiernan of Ball 9, thank you very much for a few minutes. I appreciate it. Thank you for their conversation. Some good stuff in there. So I really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your night, man. Thank you.
Okay, Chris. Thanks.
All right. Be well. All right. That's Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Ball 9. Gave you some good stuff there. I do think, listen, I thought the noise was loud enough where maybe Boone was in trouble if they lost that game in Texas. I really did. If they would have come back off of a six-game losing streak to go take on the Astros out of the postseason playoff position, I think it could have got loud enough. And I absolutely think that if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to have to be changes. I don't know about Cashman, but Boone for sure.
This city lives and breathes sports. WFAN is where Yankees fans argue with Mets fans and Giants fans debate Jets fans. Live, loud, and daily. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Woo! Yeah! Thank you to Kevin Kiernan and Ball 9 stopped in. I thought, looking at the titles of some of his articles and reading some, I thought he was going to be much more pessimistic. I feel good now. I mean, yeah, you know, he's not a fan of Boone and Cashman. That's fine. But he's optimistic about this Yankee team, optimistic about the Met team. Good. We should be optimistic. I agree with him. Who else is good? That's what I've been saying for a while. Who else is good? Who else is that good that cannot be beaten? From both these teams. And I think it is a huge weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go tomorrow night because it's a big series. It's a big series for the Yankees. It's a big series out in Milwaukee for the Mets. It's got to start now. Now, the Mets are securely in a... They're only 2.5 back of the division. The Yankees are 6.5 back. They're 3 games up out of being, you know, on the Reds for the final wild card spot. The Yankees are only 1.5 up. So it's... The Yankees are in much more of a precarious situation than the Mets are. But still, from where they were with the best record in baseball at one point to where they are now, lost 8 of 9 here. It's time to start getting going right now. And what better opportunity than against the best team in the National League, a team that you beat in the postseason last year? Go take care of business. As, yeah, the Yankees are 1.5 up on Texas and Cleveland, and now a game and a half behind Seattle, who won today in extra innings against the White Sox. It's time to go now. 888-808-1019. My man Brent in Long Island calling at 937. He must be excited. It sounds like Anthony Richardson dislocated his pinky, which, again, a dislocated finger, you know, I don't know how much time that's going to cost him. He's got all the camp, but... Daniel Jones may very well be the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. So Brett's going to get a chance to watch his man and prove everyone wrong. Right, Brett?
Good evening, Chris. The gift that keeps on giving.
That's
Daniel
right.
Jones with
unbelievable.
Josh Allen's number. Yep.
It's going to be great.
I'm never going to stop. If he wins, you know.
That's it.
If he wins and goes
to the playoffs. But if he loses, you'll just find something.
If
he loses, you'll just never admit it and just keep going on about it. That's okay.
All right, Chris.
Yes.
I know you're a Cashman apologist.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You know who's not?
Who's not?
Your buddy Mike.
My buddy Mike who?
Did you hear him? Francesa.
Oh, Francesa. Yeah. No, I mean, I've heard him before. Yeah. He doesn't like the roster,
did,
right?
Did you hear what he said? He did. So he said, and you didn't talk about this. I'm surprised because you hit every single point of the Yankees. He said they have 4 DH hitters now. Okay, their best, arguably one of their best hitters right now, you might not even be able to play him, Stanton, because he can't play the field.
Right.
You have two utility players, right? You have Rosario, you know, you got the Volpe issue, and then you have one catcher. So we never discussed that. Like, is that a fail, or what is that?
Well, I disagree with a lot of what was just said, so that's the first thing.
Well, what do you disagree with?
Which
part of that?
Well, they don't have four DHs. Right now, Stanton, Judge is one because of an injury. I don't remember everyone saying, oh, my God, how are the Red Sox going to play with David Ortiz? He can't play the field. I don't remember that being an issue. The idea that Stanton can't play the field, that's part of it. Like, what are you going to do? If Manny Ramirez got hurt
and could only DH. Presently, there's too many guys, though. We can agree on that, right? Right now, we have...
You're right. There's too many good hitters. I agree with you.
Yeah, but when Stanton's not playing, come on, Chris. When he's
I understand it, but Judge got hurt. What are you going to do? Judge got hurt. Stanton's a great player. And come postseason, hopefully Judge will be back into the outfield, and Stanton will be in the lineup.
So what would you do with Rice and Dominguez right now? Would you put, and also Rosario, like how, what would you do right now?
Rosario, what's the matter with having Rosario? He's good against right. He's good against left-handed pitching. He plays against left-handed pitching. You know,
what's his average?
Against left-handed pitching, he's got an 825, 830 OPS. Rosario kills left-handed pitching. That's it. Yeah, he's not a regular player. He plays against left-handed pitching. He's a bat off the bat.
What about the catcher situation?
Wells is stunk. So right now I think it's a 50-50 split between him and Rice, and that opens up first base for Goldschmidt more. I agree. That's the idea that, you know, the third rookie of the year last year has fallen on his face offensively this year, 100% the case. They have a catcher problem right now. There's no doubt. But Rice has been good behind the plate, so I feel confident that Rice can play a little bit, but he's been hitting the cover off the ball. He hits the ball hard, at least. Grisham's had a great year. Bellinger's been really great. Four DHs?
I remember if you said Dominguez was a possible trade for you. I don't remember. Have you ever said that?
Yes. I would have considered moving him, absolutely.
You would have considered moving him, so you're not
for
sure.
For the right deal.
What about...
Yeah.
Okay. And last thing, Chris, with Cashman, with the farm system, you bragged that we had a really good farm system last year. I think you said we were top 10, and I looked it up, and we're not. You know, Cashman groomed in the farm that you're happy with?
The farm system kind of changed in 2019 when they started a different hitting thing, and right now Wells and Volpe and Dominguez are like the first real glimpses of what we're getting. And yeah, clearly not very good. I don't disagree. But a lot of the farm system is up with the roster.
Why do you like Cashman so much?
Because they win.
This is what I'm trying.
Because they win.
You don't like me questioning anything about you. Well,
because it's not the dynamic of what the show is you call in with an opinion and we discuss it. You're trying to get to
what do you think about Cashman? You're like, don't worry about it.
No, that's not true. I'll give you what I think about Cashman, but you call up and you go like, oh, me and my 11 social media groups are trying to get to like, what do you mean by like, you know, you don't ever have your own opinion. That's the problem, Brett. You never actually say anything. You just call up and want to like hold me down to things. Why do you like Brian Cashman is a perfectly reasonable question. I would never get on you for that. I answer the question about Brian Cashman because they win. They win, Brett. They win a lot with Brian Cashman. And believe it or not, I don't think it's as easy as people think to have a payroll like this and just continually win like this. Ask around Major League Baseball at other executives. Ask them if they think what the Yankees have done is easy. Well, anyone could do that with a $300 million payroll. Okay, you want to bet? And I fear one day we'll find out. When Joe Girardi was here, we didn't like him. Now we long for the days of Joe Girardi. Something tells me that we don't like Brian Cashman right now. In 8 years, we might be going, oh my God, remember when we had Brian Cashman? We were in the playoffs every year? Maybe, I'm just saying, that might be the case. I like Brian Cashman because I think he makes a lot of good moves. That's why. Because, and I said it before, there was a stretch where he didn't do well, and then I thought from 15 to 20, he was not just good, he was excellent. Since 2020, I've admitted he hasn't done a great job. Totally agree. But one, he was the GM for championships, and I know nobody gives him credit for it because the core was already there. But I would argue Scott Brosius had something to do with the 98 team. I would argue that El Duque had something to do with the success of the organization. I would like to think that, you know, Roger Clemens and really countless others that impacted that team that he's not going to get credit for because he didn't pick Derek Jeter. But no one says, you know, the Red Sox GM shouldn't get credit because Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez was already there in 2004. But for some reason, Brian Cashman doesn't get credit for championships. One, he won championships. They continually give me a product that are right there as championship contenders. So if they don't make the playoffs, I'm with what Kevin Kiernan just said. If they don't make the playoffs, I have no problem moving on from Brian Cashman. I called for Brian Cashman to be let go and Aaron Boone to be let go after 23. I thought 23 was a disaster of a season. Disaster. Not just because they missed the playoffs. The roster was god-awful. And I said, it's time to just move on. They didn't, and they went back to the World Series last year. And I don't blow that off. Some guys want to blow it off. I don't. I like World Series runs. I know they didn't win the World Series. I'm not trying to throw parades for it, but they did go to the World Series last year. And I also think it's not easy. He's got to make moves every year. So, like, we laud what how smart the Rays are, how smart this team. Brian Cashman has to go out every year and make moves. He can't sit back. He's the New York Yankees. He can't sit back. He can't trade Mookie Betts. He can't trade Devers. He can't, like, he's got to go out there every year and make moves to try and impact this team. And you're bound to miss. You're bound to miss. And we'll see. This year, I thought he did a good job at the trade deadline. And when I talk about the farm system, I'm not saying it. Right now, look at how many. You've got Ben Rice up here contributing to the team. You've got Wells, your starting catcher. Your starting shortstop. Your starting left fielder. Like, a lot of the roster is filled with the farm system at the moment. So, sure. And you got to trade part of it every single year to get better. Every single year, you got to trade somebody to go out there and try and improve yourself. Every single year. They don't get to sit it out. So, he has not done a great job the last handful of years. And if this team falls on its face, I think they should move on from him. But I don't think he gets, from a lot of the fans, I think the media and the rest of baseball give him his due. I think the fan base that's so fed up that hasn't won a championship since 09 is a little bit unfair to Brian Cashman. That's how I feel. I think Brian Cashman's better at his job than people think. And I think 6 years, 7 years down the road, maybe we're celebrating with five championships because it's easy to win with $300 million payrolls. Maybe I'm wrong. But I fear that 5-6 years from now, or 5-6 years after Brian Cashman's gone, and we're sitting around missing the playoffs 4 out of 6 years going, man, maybe what Brian Cashman did isn't so easy. Because, I don't know, look at the other payrolls. You know, Kevin Kiernan seemed high on Philadelphia. What have they won? What have they won since 08? They went to a World Series. Why is that more? Why is that better than last year's World Series run for the Yankees? They were up 3-2 over the Arizona Diamondbacks going back home and lost game 6 and 7 at home to the Diamondbacks in the NLCS. I mean, imagine how bad we wanted Aaron Boone fired if he blew that series. But now Rob Thompson's a better manager. Why? I don't know. I don't know how anyone could say that. But, yeah, I mean, like, I like Brian Cashman because I'm a Giant fan and they've been terrible for 10 years. I'm a Knick fan. They've been terrible for 20. And I'm a Yankee fan, and every single year I've got one of the better teams in baseball. And he makes a lot of good moves, believe it or not. And in 2016, he sold the team and back to the ALCS in 2017. He followed Derek Jeter with Didi Gregorius. Remember that trade for Green? Didi Gregorius, the baby bombers. I thought he did a really good job for a couple of years. 2019, he plugged every hole. Everything was falling apart. He kept kept plugging holes and got them to 103, 101 wins. Like, that's why. Because he wins a lot. Doesn't make him infallible, and it doesn't make him that he should have his job forever. If this team falls on its face, I would move on from Brian Cashman. Totally agree. I would move on from Cashman and Boone if they don't make the playoffs this year. Unacceptable. But if they don't, I won't think they're screwed because I think Brian Cashman's fairly good at his job, and I hope next year would be better. But I would move on. But I don't agree with everything about that, the roster stuff from Mike. I love Mike. I have a great relationship with him. He's as good as anyone who's ever done it. And I worked with him forever. He's integral in my success of my career. I don't have to agree with everything he says. I think the Yankees have flaws, no doubt. But to make it seem like the roster's all mismatched because there's a bunch of good players. Like, all right, Dominguez hasn't developed as a left fielder yet. And they got some guys who came up because they hit and don't have a solid position. There's some maneuverability, and when Judge gets hurt, Stanton can't play the field. I mean, again, if Manny Ramirez got hurt and couldn't throw, would everybody be screaming, oh, man, the roster construction sucks. This David Ortiz can't play the field. Like, And I know that he's not David Ortiz, but look at Stanton in the postseason. He's pretty damn close.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 9:55, almost 3 hours down. A little more than two more to go as we take it till midnight on our ride to midnight here on this Thursday night. McMonagle in for McPherson here on this Thursday night, 888-808-1019. We'll get to the calls here. We'll change directions a little bit, get to some football. Still take your baseball calls, obviously, as a big weekend is on the horizon for both the Yankees and the Mets. But we'll change, get a little bit of football as we are. Going to start preseason football already. And the Giants and Jets both play on Saturday. Football is already back. Unbelievable. Goes fast. 888. Nothing goes faster than the hockey season, though. The hockey offseason is by far the fastest. It feels like you're just done playing hockey and then, boom, they're in. You see preseason hockey. That's the fastest. Let's go to Brett in Queens. What's up, Brett?
Hey, Chris. Just want to say what a great win last night in Queens by the New York Sotos. That walk-off home run was an incredible win for him. I mean, seriously.
He seemed happy, didn't he?
He did. He did. It was great. I mean, the Mets lost, but, you know, it doesn't matter because the great Juan Soto won. And not to knock on Soto. I mean, look, the guy, he's great, and he wants to be great, but he doesn't want to be a great team player, and that's fine. Mm. But that's not what... I mean, okay, maybe it's a dream, but look, what makes a great team is a great leader. And Derek Jeter was great, but he was a great Yankee, and he wanted to win. And he didn't feel like he was great unless the Yankees won, right? I believe that. And I think he kept the players in line. And what I think right now with the Yankees, I think their roster's fine. I agree. I have all the ingredients. The early in the season, they were doing great. They were firing on all cylinders, and mm-hmm. Now they're stumbling. They need a leader. They need Judge. Judge needs to be that Derek Jeter. I love Judge. But he has to have that fire. Not Boone, not Cashman, Judge. Judge needs to step up and get the players fired up. Like, we're out there to win. We want to win together and get that team going. I mean, I think that's the difference. I mean, it's got to come from the players. It's got to come from Judge. He's the captain. So, you know.
Yeah, no, listen, I hear you. I think it's unfair to say that Juan Soto's not a team player. I mean, I think that's unfair. He was a team player for the Yankees, that's for sure. I don't think it's not that he's not a team player. And I do think, you know, even Kevin Kiernan kind of said he's uncomfortable. I think part of it is also, you know, the offseason with a lot of, you know, shuffling around, trying to find a team. Maybe it was a different offseason for him, and maybe it didn't work as much. You know, maybe had a lot of dinners. I don't know if he was overweight. He's stealing bases at a higher clip than he ever has before. So I don't think he's out of shape necessarily. I don't think that's an issue either. I just think, you know, maybe the idea that he knows he's coming to terms with the idea that there is no other team for a guy who's been around a little bit, played in three other teams prior to this, the idea that he was waiting for free agency his whole life and now it's gone and it's over and he's going to be a Met for the next 15 years, presumably. So that might be part of it. I don't know. But yeah, I could understand why it bothered fans to watch him smile hitting that home run to make it 4-1 and avoid being no hit and still losing, you know, four in a row and losing, getting swept by Cleveland and losing 8 of 9. He shouldn't have been that. And then even, let's be honest, even Marte, him and Marte are like yucking it up. You don't like to see that from you. Listen, I think it's overblown. I think we get a little too annoyed by it. But as a fan base, you're furious. And he's there laughing it up because he hit a meaningless home run. That's how we are as fans. We don't like that. Mario in Elmwood Park. What's up, Mario?
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me on.
You got it.
Listen, I would like to point out some things to you.
Sure.
The Yankee construction, you know, of the roster.
Yeah.
I don't think the Yankees, you know, in the lineup itself, they have Dominguez, they have Volpe,
mm-hmm.
they have Rice, you know, they have Wells, you know, and Chisholm quite a bit strikes out too much. I don't think that with these ball players, you know, I know why they have them because they don't pay them that much money, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're not going to go anywhere with these ball players at this time. You know, because they're not when they come up with men on base, these ball players strike out. They don't even put the ball in play.
Yeah, I don't.
You know, I mean, you look at Bellinger, okay? For instance, Bellinger, mm-hmm. He has a quality at bat every single time he hits the ball somewhere.
No, he definitely has a good two-strike approach. I don't agree. He kind of, even for on low balls, he kind of like ducks into it a little bit. He bends his legs and goes down and makes sure he gets it. He's very good at that. There's no doubt. And the Yankees don't necessarily have other hitters like that. I don't know. But the idea that, it's the most productive offense in the American League. It's the most productive offense in the American League. Is it perfect? No. But to say like they're not going to go anywhere because they strike out too much. Look around the league; they aren't. I'll double check. I haven't checked in a week or so. They are not at the top of the league in strikeouts. They're not at the top of the league in errors. They're not at the top of the league at outs on the base path. Which it would shock you to know that they are almost at the top of the league for the least amount of outs on the base path. They don't strike out the most, and they have as good an OPS as any offense in the sport. They've scored more runs than anyone else in the American League. The idea that you look at this offense and go, well, you can't win with this group, then no team can win with their offense. Do they have to hit in the postseason? Of course. Of course. The best hitter in the world over the last couple of years didn't hit in the postseason, and that's why they lost. Like, you have to hit in the postseason, but the idea that this team is incapable of winning because they strike out too much and you can't win with Dominguez and Rice and, you know, Jazz, who's got an 800 OPS, and, like, all these guys who've been killing it, Grisham with an above 800 OPS and Bellinger with an above 800 OPS and Judge with an above 1,000 OPS and Stanton with a 900 OPS. Like, the idea that you can't win with those guys, like, I'm sorry. I just disagree with you. Now, if they go cold in the postseason and don't hit, sure, sure. And is there something to be said about two-strike approach and putting the ball in play? Absolutely, of course. Of course. And we'll see. Like, right? So Toronto, because they do that, Toronto should win the World Series because they put the ball in play. And listen, maybe whoever the next GM is can build a roster of 9 David Ecksteins, and the Yankees can go win a World Series. Let's hope that's how it works.